The government says prices are going up fast. Is this inflation or just an economy on the rebound?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. From American Public Media in New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, wholesale prices rose at the fastest pace since 2008 last month. We'll ask an economist if this is cause for concern. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up right now. The Dow's up 36 points at 12,263. The Nasdaq up about 0.4%. The S&P 500 up about 0.3%. After months of deal-making, French drug maker Sanofi Aventis is buying U.S. biotech firm Genzyme for $20 billion. And we got word this morning that new home construction jumped almost 15% last month. Now let's get to this morning's inflation numbers. The government says wholesale prices jumped almost 1% in January. That's thanks to a 7% rise in gas prices. The core index, which doesn't include food and energy prices, was up about 0.5%. Let's bring in Richard DeKayser, economist at the Parthenon Group. He's with us live now from Boston. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
So are you concerned by these inflation numbers?
Personally, I'm not. Now, you know, I need to qualify that because if you buy gasoline, people do, you're looking at a 20% price increase over the past year, and that's not something to dismiss. And if you buy food, and everyone does that, those prices have gone up a bunch too. So for a lot of people and a lot of businesses, this is real inflation. But for central bankers, the likes of Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke, it's a bit less of a concern.
Explain that. Why is this not the kind of inflation that would scare Ben Bernanke, who's obviously been pumping a lot of money into the economy?
Right. They put about $2 trillion of money into the economy in the past year. But commodity prices are incredibly volatile. They go up, they go down. Underlying inflation tends to be much more stable. And here's what he said just 20 days ago. Although commodity prices have risen, longer-term inflation expectations have remained stable, and measures of underlying inflation have been trending downward. It's that underlying rate that really preoccupies them. That has been modest over the past year, just up 1.6%.
All right. Richard DeKayser, economist at the Parthenon Group, thanks so much as always.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
The second largest bookseller in the country has filed for bankruptcy. Borders made it official this morning. Marketplace's Eve Troeh has more on what this means for the book business.
Borders will continue to operate, but it's essentially lost the bookselling battle to online sales from Amazon and devices like the Kindle, iPad, and Nook from direct competitor Barnes & Noble. Joseph Feldman is with Telsey Advisory Group. He says Barnes & Noble at least saw the digital revolution coming.
Barnes & Noble was a lot faster to shift and to try to participate in this whole digital, you know, e-reading market. Borders was late to it, and as a result, I think they've never been able to catch up.
It's hard to catch up when you've been in survival mode as long as Borders. It's changed management, cut jobs, and tried to shift around its debt. Now, with the bankruptcy filing, Borders will close up to 200 locations. And Feldman says that hurts more than book shoppers.
That's a big dent in orders to the book publishers.
Those publishers are themselves scrambling to adjust to the digital marketplace. And with 200 fewer retail outlets for books, that transition speeds up. I'm Eve Troeh for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Event Marketing, working to help small businesses and nonprofits make their events easier with event registration and marketing tools. ConstantContact.com. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies.
Credit card fraud jumped 62% last year. That's according to data this week from the electronic payment software company ACI Worldwide. The company says 29% of us have been the victim of credit card fraud in the past 5 years. It's happened to me 3 times in the last 5 years. Let's bring in LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus for more on this. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
So this is becoming a real problem.
It's been a big problem for quite some time. The growing use of plastic simply means that there's growing potential for getting ripped off when you use it. You really got to be smart when you use a credit card.
But why is this happening right now?
Well, there's a number of reasons. On the one hand, you could say that we don't have sufficient security measures in place here in the United States. For example, in Europe, most of the plastic has chips embedded in it. They're smart. Right. They've got encryption. And they basically are able to defend themselves better. We're not quite there yet here in the U.S. Another thing, too, is just simply the growing use of mobile devices and Wi-Fi. A lot of people are accessing the Internet on the go or using unsecure connections like at Starbucks or something else. And the simple fact is, if you go e-shopping using a Wi-Fi connection, I'm not going to say you're going to get ripped off every time, but the chances of someone seeing what you're doing and walking away with your number are exponentially higher.
Somebody could be watching that number that you're typing into the screen. David, what can people do to make sure that they're not the victims of credit card fraud?
Well, the first thing is just be smart about it. For example, don't give out your number to anybody who you don't trust. Second of all, be mindful of the whole Wi-Fi phenomenon. If you're having a latte at Starbucks, probably not the best time to go to Amazon.com and go browsing for things. Always use a secure connection when you need it. And finally, there's something called virtual credit cards out there, which hardly anybody seems to know about. But what these are services offered by banks in which they create a separate number based on the full backing of your normal piece of plastic that has all sorts of encryption and other security attached to it. And then when you go e-shopping, you're not using your normal number. You're using this temporary number. And in some cases, after you do your shopping expedition on the Internet, poof, the new number goes away.
All right. LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus, thanks so much.
Poof, I'm gone.
Poof, you know what else is gone? Cakes. Looks like Americans are trading them for cupcakes. A research firm says cupcake pan sales were up 14% last year. And get this, 555 million cupcakes were eaten in the latest 12-month survey period. Yeah, that's right. Those statistics came from a research firm, the NPD Group. So I think we just found the sweetest gig in the research business. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
When you picture Russia, pharmaceuticals probably aren't the first thing that comes to mind. So why are so many big drug companies building factories in Russian cities?
If you construct your factory in Russia, you will have better conditions for your business activity in this country.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Big Pharma comes to Mother Russia next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.